B-Pod Studios.
There is a sports hole in our life, especially this sport not going on, because we're used to opening day and the passage of spring and all that kind of stuff. It hurts us, and it really hurts the people who are in the game. And joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Joe Girardi. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're managing like everybody else. And, you know, this is a time for you that has to be so unusual because your biological clock kicks in. This is baseball time. How are you handling it?
I'm doing okay. You know, obviously, you miss everyone that we were around on a daily basis. I miss the players. I miss my coaches. I miss everyone that we dealt with in the front office. And it's difficult. I mean, it feels like we went from winter to winter in a sense, because winter you're not seeing people on a daily basis. And now we're not seeing anyone on a daily basis. We're actually staying away from people, and it's even harder.
Take us back to the time, because this was such a sudden thing. Now, the NBA, NHL shut down, and time stopped for everybody here. But, like, you guys, you're playing a game in Port Charlotte. By the time you come back, baseball shut down. Now, what things were going through your head at that time?
Well, we were in Port Charlotte playing Tampa, and it was about 2 o'clock, and Ron Thompson got a text from his daughter telling us that one of our coaches got a text from his daughter saying that I think they're going to shut baseball down. Then at about 3:30, it came out. So we were like in the sixth inning. We were playing a very slow game, and there were a lot of runs in the game. So I walked out the field in cold breath, and I said, the umpire said, okay, they're saying the game is going to be shut down at 4 o'clock Eastern. Do we keep playing? What do we do? And he said, yeah, I guess we finished the game. Because I was going to go into a four-corner stall because I think we were up 5-4 at the time. And I figured, you know, we might as well win our last spring training game. But we met the next day, and everyone kind of, you know, it was decided that it was best that players make the decision for themselves whether they wanted to go home or they could stay. And it was just, it was really, really abrupt, which was what was so strange. We didn't have time to prepare for it.
Now, normally you're up here, you're making arrangements to live. So you stayed in Florida, and like, this is all day to day. But like, what was your plan when that shut down, or did you not have a plan?
Well, we met Friday, and we told the players kind of what was going up, and we would meet again on Saturday and probably have more information. And that's when Matt explained, and I think Andy explained, that players had three options. They could stay, they could go home, or they could go to the baseball home city, the team that they were on. And it's a decision that whatever you make, we will respect it. We're not judging anyone. You guys got to do what's right for your family. So I went home on that Saturday back to Florida, thinking, you know, we live in South Florida, that I'll probably go back Monday or Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be players that will stay, you know, to work out, and I'll just go home for a couple of days and maybe go back if I have to. And all of a sudden, you know, it got worse and worse, and players started going home, and they decided it was probably best that the players weren't together. And then eventually, you know, the county kind of shut down our facility. So I made the right decision. I didn't have to drive back.
All right, so you're down there, and it's like everybody else. We're trying to amuse ourselves. Now, we're still actually coming in to do the show, but it's like we hibernate, come in to do the show, go back and hibernate. And the only thing we have are, if you're going to watch sports, are our replays, national games. So and you're a sportsman, so I assume you're doing the same thing. You're watching these national college basketball, football, basketball games, baseball games. And I know you're a foodie, so you like, you know, you go out to restaurants. So how has this changed your life here, being shut in?
Well, Florida State is beating Auburn 27-24 in the national title game with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to go, and Auburn has the ball on Florida State's 32. So, yes, I do watch old baseball games. Paul O'Neill, they had Derek Jeter's home run the first game. That was opening day 1996. And I reminded Paul O'Neill that he could hit. He had 3 hits that day because he would go 0-for-4, 0-for a couple days, and say, "Can a man forget how to hit in a week?" I mean, he was funny. He was really hard on himself. But and I love to cook, so I've kind of broadened my, you know, what I like to cook. I started making Nutella pizza for the kids, which is the simplest thing to make.
Nutella pizza.
Yes.
Oh, Joe, you're killing me here. Wait, let me in on that.
Yeah, well, you just buy the dough that's pre-made. You cook it for about 7 minutes at 450, 8 minutes, and then you pull it out, and you put the Nutella on it, and you put strawberries and banana, whatever you like, and then a little powdered sugar, and it's a great dessert. I mean, the kids absolutely love it.
So, all right.
That has been my new thing, but, you know, I find myself cooking every night. I think I picked up from a restaurant one time, and I love to cook, so it works out pretty well. And my wife loves to clean up, so it even works out better.
Now, I do the same thing. I love to cook as well. So you making the fresh pasta? You went through that?
I did that the other day. I made meatballs.
All right. Very nice.
And sauce. And then I also made a meat sauce because I like meat sauce.
Uh-huh. So do I. So you went to get a 2.5 hour sauce, 3 hour sauce, or what?
Yeah, I made it about. I started to make it about 11 o'clock, and I think we ate at 6. I just kind of let it sit in the pot.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a nice brewed sauce. All right, so the last night you didn't catch this game, but it was on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and it was the 2007 game where the Phillies clinch and they beat the Washington Nationals while the Mets were losing. And that year, of course, the Phillies were 7 back with 17 to play. They wound up beating the Mets. Now, in that stadium on that day, it was a Sunday, the excitement was unbelievable. 45,000 people, standing room, and it got louder and louder and louder. And the reason why is because this town wanted the resurgence of winning. And that gave them that. The Phillies got a playoffs after a drought of like 13 years. There's a similar drought right now. So from your perspective, how soon can we expect that kind of feeling to come back here?
Well, I think we're all looking for 45,000 people to be in a stadium again, you know, as soon as possible, because that means that we've been able to obviously flatline this coronavirus, which is so difficult. I mean, you see the sad stories, and obviously flatlining this is the most important thing. But I think we're all looking forward to that day because baseball over the years has kind of been, you know, it gives people hope that spring is coming, that summer is near, and that your team has a chance to win. And I think that it has helped heal our country a number of different times. So I think we're all looking and praying for 45,000 people in the stadium as soon as we can get there.
I guess the question from that goes, what you saw in spring training. And it's a shame because you still had several weeks left for guys to prove themselves and for you to get a solid roster. Did you feel you saw enough to? I know the rosters could be expanded, most likely, but if you had a 26-man roster, did you see enough to be confident to have a 26-man roster? Or were you still trying to figure it out?
No, I did. You know, there were decisions that we had to make. You know, some decisions in the bullpen, some decisions in the starting rotation, some extra men on the bench. But I loved the team that we had and the way that they were playing in spring training and the way that they were working. So, you know, obviously we still have those decisions to make. Some of them might have changed just because, you know, a guy like Andrew McCutchen has a much better chance of being ready for opening day than he did before. Tommy Hunter obviously has a chance to be ready for opening day where he didn't before. So some of those decisions have changed, but I loved what I saw in spring training. And just as important, I loved what I saw from our young kids. Our young kids.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Were, you know, a big part of the reason that we were winning, too, because, you know, they were able to build on leads and to hold leads when they came in, and they were getting a lot of playing time. So I was excited about that as well.
Who in particular?
There were a number of players. Alec Baum played extremely well. I thought he played extremely well. There's a young man by the name of Lucas Williams that plays 7 different positions, which is really pretty amazing. And he's the type of player that just continues to grow on you as you watch him go in left field one day, and he's at short one day, and he's at first one day. And it's like, wow, this is pretty special. Mickey Moniak, had some really good moments. There were some young pitchers that had really good moments. So I was pretty excited about what I saw. And again, I think we all look forward to seeing those young players develop and help us win games in Philadelphia.
We're talking to Joe Girardi, Phil's manager. Now, Joe, we can't predict when it's going to come back, if at all. So let's just play with the concept on, it will take on a different look, whatever it comes back, whenever it comes back. So there is talk that maybe a way to get more games in would be to doubleheader and go seven innings. The expanded roster, what obviously you would be in favor of because the pitching situation, and you won't want to burn guys out. The spring training factor, going back to spring training, how long would it take? Can you answer any of those questions for me?
Now, I don't think you can really answer any of them because we don't know when we're going back, and I think a lot of it is going to be determined by our government, the CDC, you know, the infectious disease doctors that are going to tell us what's the best case scenario and when we go back. Unfortunately, none of us have those answers. We all wish we had a crystal ball and could predict when it was going to happen, because I think the hard part for everyone is not having a date. I think that's the most difficult part. But I think baseball, you know, our ownership and MLB baseball and the players in the association will make the best decisions on what's best for our game and how, you know, we can give the fans as much as we can possibly give them because they're so important to us.
Would you have a problem with doubleheaders of seven innings? Is that logical? I mean, it's not the tradition of baseball, but just to get games in, would it be feasible?
I think that you have to look at every idea that someone throws out there to see if it has any credence to it and could it possibly work. So I think we all have to be open-minded when we come back, and because things are going to be different for a lot of different reasons. But things are going to be different, and we want to give as much back to this country as we possibly can.
Joe, I had Ricky Pitalico on a couple days ago, and he said that Ricky Bell was on. And Ricky Bell said that a good manager gives you four wins off the bat. How does a manager, first of all, do you agree with that? And secondly, how does a manager increase a win total? What's the formula?
Well, I think it's the first thing is gaining the trust of the players. You have to gain the trust of the players so they'll do, you know, in a sense, what you ask them to do or whatever you ask them to do. Because, you know, you have, you know, seven or eight guys competing for five starting spots. Everyone wants to be a starter, right? But you know, those numbers don't work. So for us, it's important to get players to buy in that we need you here because it's best for the team and it's given the best chance to win a World Series. The other thing that a manager needs to do with his coaches is put players in the best possible situation to be successful. And if you can understand what your roster is and how often you can use guys and how many days in a row you can play guys physically to get the best out of them, that's a really important job. So that's what I focus on a lot, understanding our players' strengths and other teams' weaknesses, and trying to match everything up.
That sounds awesome. All right, now last question is this: if you go on a 29-man roster, what are the chances that Spencer Howard would be on that 29-man roster? Is it more likely or less likely?
I really don't know. I think that's more of a developmental question where a player is at the time. I mean, obviously, we felt that there were, you know, we've talked about there are some things that he needs to continue to do. And he's not being able to sharpen his skills right now, just like everybody else, because of the situation we're in. But again, I said, you know, before, I think you have to be open about every idea that's out there because it's a different situation than we've ever experienced before, and you'll look at everything.
All right, I lied because there's actually one question that has to do with your playing career, and I wanted to get this question is because the NBC Sports Philly showed Roy Halladay's no hitter perfect game over the last week or so. You caught two of them. You caught Doc Gooden and David Cone, and we had a question that a caller asked about how much a catcher influences a no-hitter when it came to Carlos Ruiz and Roy Halladay. So I'll throw the same question to you.
I think the biggest thing is that you're in rhythm, right? The pitcher's not having to shake a lot. You know, Roy Halladay was a guy that knew exactly what he wanted to do, and Schuch was a catcher that always understood a plan and could follow a plan. So they were in sync, right? And I think that's where it's important for a catcher and a pitcher, that relationship. If you're in sync, I think it's easier because they want to be in a rhythm. Like, get the ball and throw it. I don't have to shake three times. Get the ball and throw it. So I think for a no-hitter, that's where the importance comes in. As far as I had a chance to catch a perfect game, that is even way more nerve-wracking than a no-hitter, because you're thinking, I have to block every ball. I can't drop a bopper. I can't have a pass ball on a strike three. I mean, I can't have an error. I mean, that's really nerve-wracking. So that plays into it as well.
I think when you're
calling a no-hitter, you're trying not in your mind to repeat patterns. You know how you want to get hitters out. There's certain weaknesses, but you don't always want to try to do it exactly the same every time. So you have to remember everything to be creative. And that's important for catchers too.
And the perfect game, when you're calling location, also has to be tough, because you don't want to get a guy in a three ball count where you get him real jumpy, right? It's got to be part of a perfect game.
Well, too, and you start getting in three ball counts, there's a really good chance that you're going to throw a lot of pitches. So you have to be aggressive and attack. And Roy Halladay had no problem. I saw that guy pitch way too many games against teams that I was managing. And I was really happy when he went over to the Phillies.
So basically, you can recognize what a guy's got and what, yeah, you know, how unhittable his stuff is, and you try to manage it.
Yeah, and the other thing, a lot of times pitchers don't see what they have exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes you actually have to guide them a little bit. They may not think they have a good breaking ball, and you're saying, man, because mm-hmm. they don't actually see the ball, you know, the whole way. They don't. So yeah, they don't understand it.
Yeah. By the way, Bryce Harper donated $500,000 today.
Such a good person. And I was so impressed by him in spring training and his work ethic and how hard he plays. I actually got nervous one day because he got a hit, he stole second, he stole third, and I looked at Dusty Wathan, our third base coach. I said, tell him he can't steal home. That's enough, right? But he plays to win all the time, and he has an exact plan of what he's going to do. And he's a very generous person that takes care of people. I mean, he's special.
Joe, listen, it's been great talking to you. And like everybody else, we're hoping this clears up soon and we can have a little bit of baseball in our lives. And I know you're doing the same thing. I know you got your son, Dante, is down there. You're throwing the ball around because his season was also cut, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I'm watching him right now, and I'm trying to be in a spot where it's quiet. He saw it on, I don't know, YouTube or whatever, where a guy in his front yard hit a tennis ball up in the air over the roof, ran and caught it on the other side of the house. And that's what he's trying to do right now. So, you have to create games for yourself, and that's what my kids are doing. And I feel for all the kids what they're going through right now, you know, thinking about, you know, they weren't able to finish their seasons, senior seasons. People weren't able to win national championships. This has been a difficult time for everyone, and it's important that we all stick together, we social distance, and I love that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are all on the same page about we're going to do whatever we can to make it the best possible when we get back.
That's well said, and tell Dante good luck. That sounds like a fun game. It's like,
yeah,
it's like
Gary. Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to stub a toe, and I have to go to the emergency room.
Gary Maddux could track down that tennis ball, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, you please stay safe, and everyone in Philly, stay safe.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
There he is. Joe Girardi, manager of the Phillies.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.